Welcome back to The Elaborators. We are in the studio today with two very, very special guests. Of course, the ever-present, ever-amazing effervescent Simon Young is in the house. Be more effervescent.
Effervescent? Isn't that a Schweppes ad?
Sure. But you know this is an audio podcast. You can't just sit there silently staring. Oh, that, there you go, for all those listening online, he just pretended to drink a can of Schweppes. That's
my effervescence.
Are we going for sponsors at this point? Do we need to just drop the name
our good friends at Schweppes and Spring Water as well. I'll hold up the Spring Water bottle here. I'll get another name in there.
Hey, let's get some Asian sponsors with Dutch and Kim.
Hello, hello. I'm here.
It's a big market.
It is a big market. If we were getting a sponsorship out of the Asian region, what do you think we should get? One of the Korean car brands maybe? Or
car brands, Hyundai, Kia, or some chicken.
I wasn't ready for the chicken. I've got a Hyundai though.
I got a Hyundai. Two.
There you go.
You got two. Do you have a Hyundai chicken though?
No.
What sort of chicken?
Gummy chicken.
Gummy chicken.
It's popular now these days.
Yeah, it is. Mm. You can cook it though, can't you?
I can cook it.
Yeah. Yes. So what if we just start a Dutch and franchise?
Why not? We'll start tomorrow.
How many things can you start at once?
Too many.
Too many.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you haven't met Dutch Ann, by the way, Dutch Ann is a world traveler. He's qualified in 47 different things. And I just think, why not start your own brand?
Mm. Just open another tab in the browser. That was the analogy I used the other day. We had another sound thing go wrong and I was like, I can't open another tab.
There's no more tabs.
To fix it, there's no more tabs.
I need to have a little lie down.
Yeah, I'm out of RAM.
Shut the tabs down.
Call the Kim's family.
Yeah, I will.
I was going to say, can you still start a brand just simply by, in the 90s where I'm from, you printed a mouse pad and a t-shirt and a poster and that was your brand. That's all you needed. Yep. What do you need now?
Facebook.
I think you've automatically cordoned off a section of the market under 40 there.
All right. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
Mm. So you need, okay, so it's getting difficult. Anyway, Dutch and Kim International conglomerate, if it does start, we're shareholders in the original concept.
Okay.
So I'll put in, what do you want, like a bottle of water each?
Sure.
Okay, done. Ladies and gentlemen.
And a podcast.
So welcome back to the podcast of Elaborators with Justin Simon and Dutch and Kim International Incorporated.
Chicken Lord.
Almighty chicken man.
Come up.
Okay. All right. So during the week, we've been talking a lot about the missional focus of, well, I guess all Christians really should have a missional focus of going to their neighbor, at least. We've been talking about what it is to be missional into the world, into the highways and the byways. And so we've been talking to a couple of our folks that are living internationally right now, and a lot of our church backs them in financially and all that so that they can do that. But on the weekend, we talked about this word go, and we talked about what it might actually mean to go just from where you are right now. And we spoke a little bit about, a lot of people think about the giant leap, you watch, what's your favorite Olympic sport?
Well, if we're talking giant leaps, the triple jump's pretty wild to watch, isn't it?
Triple jump. Do you know what I like? I like the Winter Olympics and I like I don't even know what it's called, the one where they literally slide down
Big giant slide.
Yeah, and they just slide and they just leap. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I was like, that's the image I always get. And you sort of think, I feel like anybody could probably slide down it. Mm. I don't know.
I mean, I'll say yes to that. Landing, yes. Yep, landing is the other part.
But I would freak out about 5 meters before that little lip at the end, and I'd try and lie down so I wouldn't.
Yep.
But we love the launch, don't we? We love a launch. How many things do you reckon you must have launched a few things in your time, Simon Young?
Oh, yeah, well, it depends on the scale of the launch, doesn't it, really? Mm. But yes.
Were you the kid in primary school that tried to launch your own thing? You had a big idea?
No. I didn't. No.
Didn't start a gang. What have you started?
Well, I wasn't an entrepreneur.
No?
My brother is.
Yeah.
Launching all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I started a business.
Oh, what did you start?
High school. Selling wristbands.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite popular then. We made some profit.
Really?
Yep.
There you go.
Bought some food after that.
So
then he went and bought chicken.
Yeah, add that to the chicken merch.
There you go, chicken.
So hang on, what was those little rubber wristbands?
Rubber wristbands.
Yeah, what did they say on them? DutchAndKingInternational.com?
Just different colours, different mottos.
Little motivational things? Yep.
Motivational thing that was sold to the school students. It was like a mini business thing that we were doing.
Yeah. When you say we,
yep.
Who was it?
About four, with four other students together.
Okay.
We did that. and it sold out.
On the school black market.
That and some NBA swap cards. What did they say on them? Were they like scriptures and things?
Not scriptures.
No.
It was donation for cancer and things like that. Pink, oh, blue, black.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So you're raising funds. Huzzah. Hang on. Yeah. Where's my little – I've forgotten where the button is.
Yeah.
There's the button. But either way, launching stuff is kind of easy in a sense. A big idea is easy to have, but taking the giant leap doesn't come without preparation. And so I always look at things like that. You sort of think, oh, yeah, wristbands. I know what wristbands are. Selling stuff. I know what selling stuff is. But you actually have to think about the market. You have to think about production. Yeah, there's a thousand little things. And so we talked a little bit about small steps of obedience leading to giant leaps of faith. And I think that most of us would have some version of that in our faith story. What's the, I won't say biggest, but tell us about one, because I know you've taken a few leaps of faith that God prepared you for along the way.
Yeah, for me, it's always in my heart, be faithful in the small things.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I started. Just be faithful with the given task daily, and that led to big things in the end.
So what is one of those big things? What would you consider a big thing?
A big thing? Oh, that's a good question. I haven't thought about big things, but small things like when God calls me, I'll just go and be obedient to his
calling. Can I just stop you there for a second?
Right. I think we're both on the same page here, Justin.
I think you just said small thing and then said when God calls me.
Yeah.
So is that because you've lived a life where it's almost normal for God to call you into change, or
that's been normal in my life,
right?
In prayer, in just calling.
So let me just backtrack a little. Part of your story is you live in Werribee in the western suburbs,
yeah,
because
God called me to go to the west.
How does God do that? Does he start speaking with a different accent, like a real good Aussie accent? You're like, that's a westy accent,
or is it like Big Brother, Dutch? Yeah. The Westgate Bridge is lonely.
You didn't tell me about the gates. No. But I found out.
Does he ever call you to the diary room?
We need to test your patience with metro traffic. Head to the west.
Yeah. So you're sitting there one day, you're praying or you're journaling or whatever you're doing. How do you go, God's calling me to the west? Because I need to point out here, it wasn't a job that you were thinking of. It wasn't a school or something for the kids. It was literally a geographical area that you felt called to.
Yeah.
How?
I think it started when I was much younger. I had the discipline of praying and hearing God's voice, and many things happened, like good testimonies of the results of that.
Mm.
And when you said go to the West, I thought, okay, this is God's calling. You know that most loving fatherly voice that speaks to you? I sometimes mistook for my father's voice many times. When I was living in England, I went upstairs because someone said, Da-chan. I went to my dad and said, Dad, did you call me? He's like, no, I didn't call you. Went back downstairs. Later on, Da-chan, went upstairs again. Dad, did you call me again? He's like, seriously, I didn't call you. He's like, if someone calls you again, say, God, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Please talk to me.
I feel like I've read that somewhere before.
I feel like I've read that too. Somewhere in that Bible book.
Just
somewhere.
Looking up Samuel right now.
Yeah. It was that discipline I had all the time. Mm. And when he said go to the West, I knew I had to go to the West.
So let's backtrack, because you are, how old are you now?
35.
So very grown up, more mature than me, and I'm 10 years older than you. You're 35 at this point, so 2-3 years ago is when you felt that voice. But I think what I just heard is since you were a child.
Yeah.
Tell us about, do you remember any of those moments as a child and maybe what the calling led you to?
When I was 18, I was doing cellular and molecular medicine at Bristol University. There you go. The big one.
Sorry. For everyone listening, that was Simon Young's brain exploding.
So, like I wasn't having a drink.
Yeah. Trying to become a scientist.
His water just came through his nose.
Yeah, sorry. Continue.
Sorry. When I was young and I was studying Pokemon cards is probably what I'd be saying, but you're molecular, what?
Cellular and molecular medicine. So microbiology, pathology, to become a scientist.
I was going
to
do that, but too much goo. Anyway, you were telling a story. Yeah,
first semester, I was praying, as I always do. God, I asked God, what can I do for you in my life during the first semester? And God said, go and study theology. I thought, better not. I'm happy with where I am. Then second semester came. before my study, I was always pray. I said, God, what can I do for you in my life? He said, go and study theology. Third semester, because we have third semester in England. So third opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. I asked again, prayed again. God, what can I do for you in my life? Same voice, same answer. Go and study theology. That's when I stopped studying. After the first year, I went to theological college to study theology. And that was my calling back then.
So that's a sense of, I mean, that's a big call, because I'm assuming you, to even get into the course you were in, would have taken a lot of discipline through those senior years of high school.
Yeah.
How much of a, did it feel like a waste? Because a lot of people are worried about what do I have to give up, or what do I have to let go of to do what I'm called to do?
Absolutely. For me, I was trying to heal people physically. I was trying to invent medicine, built a mega-sized medical center. That was my dream. But then later on, found out God was calling me into healing, not in physical, but spiritual.
Okay.
So I thought, wow, I thought it was a waste at the first. There was fear inside as well. Oh, if I disobey God, what's going to happen to me? What happened to Jonah on the boat? But I'm on the plane now.
Not as many fish to swallow you.
No. Space whales are going to swallow you up.
That's right.
Sorry, that's a Star Wars reference for all those playing along at home. So there's the idea of me and God and disappointing God. And again, people, it's hard. We speak as if it makes sense to people when we talk about God and God's voice. But I think to state again, you're talking about it's been a discipline lifelong. So as a child, you started to say, what is it to hear God's voice? But then to study medicine, I assume also there would be some family acknowledgement, some social cues that you'd have to break some rules to do the next thing. Do you actually remember? I mean, again, this is you're a long way down the track now, so it all makes sense in your current story. But at the time, how do you remember how much pressure it was, or was it simple? Or
no, lots of pressure going on, because this is a study that I wanted to do. I felt this was God's calling to do medical science. And then hearing God's voice all of a sudden, three times, I thought, okay, what shall I do? I know the Bible talks about obedience.
Yeah.
But that's when I talked to my parents as well. And I asked my dad, who is also a pastor. He said, I think that's God's calling from your experience. And I talked to my mom as well. She's a prayer warrior. She loves me. And I said, Mom, I think God is calling me into theology, into the ministry. And she said, you know what? That's what I've been praying for.
Get out.
Mom, she already dedicated me.
You know, that happened in our last episode too with Omar, who spoke with us on Sunday.
Right.
He said his mum had been praying for one of her children to be led over, you know, just into a mission like that overseas and things. Ended up being two of them.
Wow.
But it's the mums.
Mums.
Yep. It's those mums.
Powerful prayers from a mum. So you've made that decision, you've made that call, and you are, what are you, 20, 19?
19.
19 is not a bad age to be smart enough and dumb enough to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
How have you felt as you've gotten older, you're married, you've got two children, there's actually your mother-in-law is in your house as well.
Yeah.
How hard was it to make the call to come to the West with all of that other stuff and all of these other lives connected to your decision-making?
It was a tough decision. I have a young family. We're growing. I've talked to my wife about this as well. But when I said this, God said, go to the West. That's when I said to my wife, she's like, we're going.
Oh, wow.
She just believes.
Okay.
Yep. More than me.
That's it. That's an interesting one. So when you say more than you, her faith expresses very differently. She's more decisive?
Yep, she is. All the way. She would go all the way. Yeah.
She's an amazing lady too, and I'd love to get her on the cast. But for you, you've given up the science, the medical science degree, got into theology, and I think we've talked to you in past podcasts about some of the study you did in Israel as well. And some of the study you did was in
the Bible and the ancient Near East, the culture and the context of the Bible.
Yeah. So where it was written, what was happening at the time, cultural context, all of that. And you can read backwards.
I can.
You can read Right to left?
Yep.
Right to left in Hebrew. Now, recently, and again, one of the things that when we talk about hearing the voice of God, I always point people back very, very quickly to Scripture. Because oftentimes you'll hear people say, God told me. And that's a good sentence, but it's a really dangerous sentence. And it's a dangerous proposition if you don't have some spiritual backbone to it. Certainly, I would say that in every case of obedience, when it comes to a larger calling, a movement, a change of study, all those kinds of things that we've talked about already, there would have been spiritual mentors in your life. You've obviously mentioned your mum and your father in that as well. The easiest thing, just in case you're wondering and you're playing along at home, you think people have said, God told me before, and it turned out they might have been a little bit on the, you know, over the deep end kind of thing. The easiest thing you can ask is, does it align with Scripture? Yep. Is it informed by, does it align with Scripture? And so one of the things we all share is a love of Scripture. And so we were recently sharing at our youth group here, and I was sharing on Psalm 34 that talks about taste and see that the Lord is good. And one of the things I read was that this is actually an acrostic. The whole psalm comes out of a time when David was under masses of pressure. He had been called by God to be a king. But right now, he was somewhere between a captive and a rebel. He was in no man's land. He wasn't wanted by the people he was supposed to lead. He wasn't wanted by, obviously, the enemies of Israel either. And so he's right in between. His calling has not come to pass. And he's put under a lot of pressure. And I always say, you know, what comes out when pressure is applied? And hopefully, praise comes out when pressure is applied. But because he'd taken small steps of obedience, you know, he would sit in the paddock and sing his psalms and everything else as a child, and he would learn to hear God's voice. He goes and he writes this psalm, Psalm 34. That's a big prologue, because I want you to explain what Psalm 34, how is it structured, and just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Psalm 34 begins by having alphabets. So in English, you have A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So verse 1 is A. Verse 2, it starts with B. Verse 3 starts with C, then D. That's the first word that it starts with, and it's amazing.
I kind of like the idea that David's been under enormous pressure, literally armies coming after him kind of pressure, and he pops home and does a devotion.
Right. Yeah. It's like the kid brought the poem home from kinder and done it all in alphabetical order, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. I might do one of those.
Why not?
Yeah.
But I like the idea that not only did he know to bring praise, he had a structure to do it with. Mm. And that can be helpful sometimes. I have a friend who in his 20s was struggling with a few things, and he'd stop and he would reflect on Scripture, and he had an old phone book. When kids, back in the old days, we had to write Simon Young's name on the Y page and write his address down and then scribble it out every time he moved. You have A, B, C, D, E, and he wrote scriptures that started with A and scriptures that started with B, and he would study and he'd plonk them in this book in an alphabetical order. It was a structure that helped him focus and devote himself. So this Hebrew sound, how does it sound? Just give us a bit of it.
Verse 1, do you want me to read verse 1?
So what's the alphabet first of all?
Aleph.
Aleph.
The first one is Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Zain, Het, Ted, Yof, Kaf, Lamed, and it goes on and on until 22.
Could we just cross-check that with our knowledge?
Yep.
All those in favour?
Sounded like it.
Sounded exactly right to me. I'll give you an A. read a bit of this and tell us maybe a couple of your favourite verses in there.
Yeah, maybe even verse 1. Avracha et Adonai bechol at tamid tehillato bepi. So translations, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Mm. What does it mean to praise the Lord at all times?
Any situation, just praise his name at all times. Pressure, that's when you truly praise him.
Mm-hmm. I like the, which verse says taste and see? I haven't written it down here. Sorry, I should have done that first. But, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Mm. I think that's a really powerful one. What does verse 4 sound like?
In Hebrew?
Yeah.
Derashit et Adonai ve'anani u'mekher megurokti hitzlani.
Yeah, that was a correction I was going to make too.
Yeah.
similar. But this is the one that I was interested in. It's verse 8. Do you want to read verse 8 for us?
verse 8. Te'amu uru ki tov Adonai. Ashurai hagabe yachese bo. I'm trying to find the little dots.
You can bring that closer if you like. It's fine. But you were saying there's a fascinating application of this particular verse where we would read it and it would just say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. But there's a very specific learning that children would have when it came to taste and see.
Yeah, I met some of my friends, a couple of friends who, it's not in the Bible, it's not in the tradition, but some of them would just do this, you know, as any parent would do. They will put some honey on the front cover and tell them to lick it and ask, what's the taste? How is it? They'll say, oh, it's sweet. And they'll just go, this is sweet.
See, and all I can think about is how much trouble I would get in if I put honey on my dad's Bible. Is there a very specific leather cover that works well when you're dunking honey on it? Mm. But blessed are those that take refuge in him. Taste and see. I believe didn't your daughter actually taste and see one time?
She did when she was 3 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a page went missing. So she actually ate one of the pages from the Bible. I think it was Corinthians.
Corinthians. It's good teaching. Good teaching in Corinthians. You can't even get mad for that, can you? I mean,
it's really taking it, ingesting the content.
She was trained for that.
Yeah. Taking it to heart.
Take this scroll and eat it.
Yeah.
You've got the most spiritual 3-year-old in the world.
They must have.
I do.
But of all of this, how does it, I mean, again, you don't just learn to read Hebrew overnight. These are small steps you've taken along the way. How long did it take you to sort of get confident reading? Because you probably read in 3 or 4 languages, don't you?
I do. I think it took me at least 2 years, a year, mm-hmm. 2 years to actually read. I'm still improving though.
Yeah. I mean, Simon and I will give a report later on some of that. But
I'm still improving too. Today's day one.
Day one.
I'm still only half a day into it.
I'm just here. Yeah. I'm literally here. This is the amazing.
Psalms. Yeah.
Beautiful.
But like I say, I'm still learning. Obviously, the spine is on the wrong side of the book, isn't it? So it's all sorts of confusing. I'm like, hang on.
So that's a parallel translation. And if you open that up, you're opening it the wrong way again. Yeah, there you go. Now, what you have to do is read the Hebrew goes right to left. And what they've done for the English is given you 2 or 3 words that do create a sentence if you go right to left.
Yep.
It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling, but lots of symbols and lots of dots. As you said, you're looking for the dots. It's very precise.
Yep.
But does it feel different to read the word in different languages?
It sometimes does. Mm. Like, you know, in Hebrew, when you read it in Hebrew, there's some of the words are there's mistranslations sometimes. Mm. But when you read it in Hebrew, it feels very close. I don't know how to describe it.
I just love how you can't describe it. It's beautiful.
It's like eating fast food or hot meal that's cooked just now.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's more nutritious.
Yeah.
straight from the father's kitchen. Yeah.
And it's the language that Israelis are speaking now, even modern Hebrew. It's very similar to biblical Hebrew.
If
you go to Israel, you just say shalom, they'll say shalom. Mm-hmm. But if you say shalom with Australian accent, they will say hello.
Yeah, g'day, shalom, mate. Yeah. Shalom. Yeah, fully shalom to you too, bro. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But these are, and again, I love your story. It's fascinating. I love every. Simon's got a fascinating story too, because all of us Well, earlier when you were studying molecular biology.
Right, yeah, when I was 14.
Yep. No, but you're well trained. You've got a degree in a thing.
Yeah, I do.
What's your degree?
Industrial design.
And it totally is operational in church life.
Sure.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing. How many years did you do that for?
4.
And AutoCAD's another language you have to learn.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Mm. Yep. So what I'm saying is you start this thing with a fascination. Whatever it is, you start with a fascination. And there's a moment where you go, I just don't know very much, right? But something in us goes, I want to know more. And I do think that's a good description of the walk we have with God. This is I read this earlier in the week. Painting is easy when you don't know how, but very difficult when you do. Edgar Degas said that. It's easy when you don't know how. I could paint that. I could write that. Mm. I could do that. I could sing that. Whatever it is, I could preach like that guy, whatever, because you think you can.
Does everyone on the Facebook comments. Right?
Yeah. We wouldn't have social media without the whole world thinking they knew exactly what was going on in your life.
Yep.
But this is the beauty of the devotional life, the devoted life, is you come away with a God who actually does know how you're wired, actually does know what you know and what you don't know yet. And for him to reveal himself to you takes a devoted life. It takes a life that says, I will go when I hear your voice. I will respond to your voice. And I would concur with the Chan's testimony of learning as a young child is the way to do it. It's children can hear the voice of God. Adults too, of course, but we get more and more filters as we go along. So if it's something simple today that you could do to open the Word again and just read a chapter, read Psalm 34 and maybe write down something that it says to you, or just speak out loud or share with a friend, talk to them about it. If you don't like writing, if you don't like reading, use the audio Bible, you know, but start somewhere. Start with just a little bit of go, because simple steps of obedience will lead to giant leaps of faith. And giant leaps of faith are fun to talk about, but very few of us know how the giant leaps of faith are taken without understanding the small steps first. Good.
Yeah.
Did we solve it?
Yep. Unless you to Chan, who says he hasn't done any big steps. They've all been little steps.
Little steps so
even
far.
Even though they've been enormous steps.
I'm just going to say. So we're, Simon and I are now going to take Dutchan through a bit of a, what do you call it, an exercise.
Yep.
Where we get him to write things down and measure them appropriately.
Yeah. Right, moving internationally.
Yeah.
Big step. Big step. Changing roles, changing degrees, all that sort of stuff. And do what your mother tells you.
Right.
Was that the outcome?
I think that's do what your mother has already told and asked God to make you do.
Yep.
Do what your mother prayed for you.
I think
is the answer.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us on The Elaborators. Don't forget, check out the YouTubes. Check out that. You can check out the sermon notes. You can check out all that sort of thing. You can write Dutchan a letter in Hebrew if you like.
Why not?
How did we say goodbye in Hebrew?
Leitzlaot. See you later.
Okay. It sounded like you just said see you later backwards.
Yep. Leitzlaot. Just have to sound. Leitzlaot.
Take that to your Hebrew teacher.
Yep. Best goodbye ever. See you next time. Bye.